Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Tonight, boy, some winter weather slamming big chunks of the country. I just flew in, really, moments ago from Washington, D.C. Besides the Supreme Court hearing the oral arguments of King versus Burwell, all anybody was talking about was Snowmageddon Part 10 in the D.C. area. They were already closing universities and schools, and people were skedaddling as fast as they could. They're predicting 6 to 8 inches maybe of snow, especially in the suburbs, but even in the city proper. And in Dallas, Texas, they have a freeze going on. So it was kind of a little dicey, I have to tell you, flying in on Virgin America. At one point, they're like, fasten your seatbelts as tight as you can. And they're known for joking around. And that plane was moving in a couple of different directions. And I think it was due in part to the weather, of course. And once we landed there on the ground, there was massive sleet. It would dry and then it would rain again. So in the Southwest, people are dealing with that in some areas. And in the Northeast, they're getting more of that snow again. Crazy thing happened as well when I was flying back. And seriously, I literally just got off the plane 20 minutes ago. There was an attack in South Korea. The U.S. ambassador to South Korea was slashed when he was at a breakfast. And this happened in Seoul, where hardly anything ever happens. His name's Mark Lippert. They had to rush him to the hospital. It looked like a razor almost had cut him. Blood was dripping down his face. Apparently he's okay. And they, you know, immediately got the guy that went after him, said to be in his 50s or whatever. But he was sliced in the face and in his hand because he tried to protect himself. And so there's a lot of conversation about that as well. But as I said, just coming back from the Supreme Court on the steps today, talking to a lot of people who had something to say about what it would mean for them if the subsidies were to go away. And remember, when I went to Washington, I said, we're looking at this from all angles. We're looking at it, if you want to break it down ideologically, politically, whether it's left of left, right of right, or whatever it is, as you know I say on this show, I wanted to talk to all the faces in healthcare to get what the perspective is of the people who say they need it and what's happened to them. And I ran into these two women from the Midwest who told me their own personal stories. And here that is. All right, we'll get back to that. Tell me your name and why you're out here today with the rain coming down and the big oral arguments today in King versus Burwell.
Well, I'm Martha Robinson, and I'm from Evansville, Indiana. And I came here specifically to be here today to let people know that my son, who has Marfan syndrome, if he has health care, his life expectancy is normal. Without health care, his life expectancy is 40. I'm here to save my son's life.
If the subsidies go away, that affects your family?
We cannot afford the health care without the subsidies. And we have already gone, before the Affordable Care Act, we went for 2 years, or nearly 2 years, without health insurance. It's a very frightening position to be in, especially when you have a condition like Marfan syndrome in our family.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lewis. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. And before I got insurance through ACA, I had no insurance for 6 years. I'm a self-employed registered nurse, and it doesn't provide any type of benefits. So when I went in and got health care, I found out that I had almost no blood. I had some ulcers that were bleeding, and I had had gastric bypass surgery some years ago. So basically transfusions and infusions of iron, you know, that saved my life. And it was thousands and thousands of dollars worth of treatments that really that I needed. Had I had the insurance previously, I probably wouldn't have gotten to that point. But, you know, thank God that I have it, and I hope they won't take it away and kill me.
All right, so we'll have more stories similar to that and some other thoughts on what happened at the Supreme Court. There were all kinds of people there. Mostly there were people that were saying, please don't touch the subsidies. There was a massive amount of media, of course, and this was on the heels of Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to Congress and the conversations that he was having in the city, and then the relationship with the White House, which I talked about on our last show, dominating certainly the headlines. Something else happened outside of D.C., although the press conference was in D.C., Eric Holder, the still officially, I guess, in a way, the attorney general as he's getting ushered out. But he announced that the Department of Justice isn't going to prosecute the former Ferguson police officer, Darren Wilson, but did say, as they poured through so many emails, that that there were problems in their evaluation with the police department itself, saying that blacks in Ferguson are disproportionately subject to excessive police force, baseless traffic stops, and citations for fractions as petty as walking down the street and getting a citation, you know, for that, walking down the middle of the street. So the decision is Wilson is not part of this. That's it. He's not part of any of that. But the report said there was evidence of racial bias in emails by a lot of the officials in Ferguson, and it included one in April of 2011, an email that depicted President Obama as a chimpanzee. And then there were so many others. So there, the attention is focused on Ferguson, the city itself, and how they fix what's going on there. And the federal government is saying, after this investigation, that there are some deeply rooted problems in the police department, in the courts, and in the jail. Specifically, Holder mentioned that now that our investigation has reached its conclusion, it's time for their leaders to take immediate, wholesale, and structural corrective action. And they confirmed that they had long known and should lead to some changes in the police department, is what they're saying, in the leadership. So we'll see if anything happens in Ferguson. But the main gist, the main part of this was, remember, the investigation initially really centered around Darren Wilson, who is no longer a police officer in Ferguson. But he will not be prosecuted for anything. So I think that is a relief, I'm sure, to Wilson and his family. And it didn't look like that was going to happen. It didn't look like that was what was going to come out of what happened in Ferguson. But now the focus is so much on that city that they're talking about really holding some of these town hall meetings and having open conversations for whatever that may lead to, and we'll see if it bounces into anything, if anything at all, really. All right, more coverage as we talk to some more people in Washington, D.C. about what happened in the Supreme Court. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We're back on Radio Row, Families USA, across from the Supreme Court. And today, of course, is a big day because of King versus Burwell. We're talking about the subsidies portion of the Affordable Care Act. And throughout the show, you'll hear some of the people that I talked to today and some of their stories and what it would mean to their health care. We know that health care, I don't care what your ideology, is a very, very personal thing. It's fine when it's smooth sailing and nothing's wrong, and then suddenly something happens to a family member and you get blindsided, and then that's when it hits the fan and you have to deal with the system. Very pleased to welcome to the show Wendell Potter. And what's cool about Wendell is, and I want to make sure I got the decades right, but at least 20 years as a corporate public relations executive. But this is the key thing. He was the head of communications for Cigna, which of course is one of the country's largest health insurers. And Wendell knows personally what it's been like. He covered testimony before the Senate Commerce, Science, and Technology Committee in June of 2009, and he disclosed how insurance companies, as part of their efforts to boost profits, have engaged in practices that have resulted in millions of Americans being forced into the ranks of the uninsured. In other words, the shortcut to this is he is a whistleblower, and we have had many, many brave whistleblowers on America Tonight from different fields and for different reasons. Wendell, welcome to the show.
Kate, thanks very much.
So take me back to that, because I think that's very significant. What was it after 20 years? Is it you saw too many things that were happening to people and you said, I just can't do this anymore?
Well, it's exactly what happened. And I also saw that the insurance industry was becoming more and more anti-consumer and more focused on rewarding shareholders than it was looking after the best interests of people who were depending on them to get coverage coverage for care that they needed. They were pushing more and more people into high deductible plans, for example, and they were declaring more and more people uninsurable. Then they would refuse this health coverage to people just because they've been sick in the past. And I realized that that was the one of the, that was probably, and it was the biggest reason why we had 50 million people without insurance. But it took a trip back home to Tennessee, where I'm from, to come face to face with what I was doing for a living and have a crisis of conscience. I went back to visit family, and I picked up the newspaper while I was there and read about something called the Healthcare Expedition that was being held at a nearby county fairgrounds. And I went there, and I saw something that I just never would have expected to see in the United States. I saw people who were standing in incredibly long lines waiting to get care in barns and animal stalls because this was a county fairgrounds. And I realized at that moment that I was part of the problem. Because of what I was doing, I was trying to preserve the status quo that worked very well for insurance companies but was not working for the American people.
And I can only imagine, but what was the reaction when you took that initial step?
Well, it was a very scary one. I decided to quit my job without another one to go to. I ultimately decided to be an advocate for reform, and I spent a lot of time here in Washington representing the interest of consumers, not the interest of insurance companies, as I had for 20 years. And I expected a lot of pushback from my former colleagues. I'm fortunate I didn't get as much pushback as I thought, and I think the reason for that is because of the knowledge I had of the industry.
Right.
I knew where the bodies were buried, and I knew the media as well, too, because the job that I had, I worked with good reporters who knew me and knew that I was a person of integrity, even though during the course of the time that I worked in the industry, I took my job very seriously of working with the news media.
Yeah. So that happens, and take us forward, then what? You decide you're going to be the advocate for healthcare and do whatever you can to help people?
I did, and I still do it. I wrote a book, as you noted, Deadly Spin, and in fact, I've written another book called Obamacare, What's in It for Me, What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care.
Yeah, there you go.
Which I hope people will get. It's an e-book on Amazon. It's very inexpensive, and it explains in simple language what is all about the Affordable Care Act and how it benefits us.
Do you think that's part of the problem? There's massive confusion. I thought,
yes.
So one thing for sure, I mean, forget whether you're Democrat, Republican, can't stand anybody, whatever, you're Libertarian.
Right.
I think part of the problem was the rollout, not even the technical side, but that people didn't understand. It's confusing anyway, as you know, in the insurance
business.
So that could have been done better, perhaps, and that might have, maybe it would have offset some of the controversy anyway.
Exactly right. I've been a critic of the administration and the Democrats in Congress as much as anybody because I think they really botched it when they passed this bill. It was so complex, which it has to be because we get a very complex healthcare system, but they did a very lousy job, and they're still doing a lousy job of explaining what this bill is, what this law is, and how it affects people.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So you worked in the insurance industry at the status quo. You saw what happened. You were a whistleblower. What do you think the insurance companies need to do? And are they the bad guys in all of this?
You know, they're not. They're not necessarily the only bad guys. I don't call them the bad guys. They're all working in a system that really doesn't work. And it's a system that is unlike any other system in the world. We have a system in which we are spending far more for health care than any other country on the planet, far, far more, but our outcomes are worse. And we have not been able to achieve universal access as every other developed country has. We need to do a lot more to structure the system that we have. And the way it is now, a lot of hospitals are doing very well financially. Insurance companies are doing very well financially. The bottom line is the bottom line, because these companies are more interested in making money, making profits, than they are in meeting the needs of people.
So today, as I was mentioning, and you obviously know, and that's why we're here, the Supreme Court hears the oral arguments, King versus Burwell. What happened? Well, first of all, what's your gut? Because you've been around this game. What's your gut tell you about this court? Letter of the law, it stays, or political feelings, even though we know you're not supposed to have feelings, does it go down? What do you think happens?
I think that we'll see that a majority of the justices will say that the government's right on this, that the government, the Congress did not intend for the subsidies to be paid only in the states that set up their own exchanges. It doesn't make any sense. So I think that the justices will agree with the government. I think they also will see that if they don't, it'll result in incredible chaos. People will lose their insurance. They'll lose access to care. And that's going to be catastrophic for the country.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming by, Wendell. I appreciate it. And so happy there's people like you on the planet that take the step, because that was a bold step that you took, and good for you.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right, you got to love that. Really, my heart goes where the whistleblower goes, because you heard what he said. He saw the nonsense that was happening and decided, yeah, that's it, once he went to Tennessee and saw what was going on with people. And also, he was critical of the Democrats, saying that they didn't do this right. They're still not doing it right. People don't understand and have no clue on some of the things that are happening with the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. So shame on them. He said that, you know, obviously several times. Now, here's the key thing. What is going to happen? And I asked a lot of people to handicap this for me. What's going to happen in June? Because that's when the decision will come down. And a lot of people, after this 85-minute session, because that's what it was, that were in the court say that Justice Roberts, who certainly is a conservative who was put on the court by George W. Bush, didn't have really any kind of meter as to how he would vote by what he said. Now, Justice Alito said that if the court rules in favor of the challenge, there is a chance that the tax credits could remain in place for 2015 because the government wouldn't have time to clear up the law and make it legal. So the people that currently have those subsidies wouldn't immediately lose that coverage. Well, of course, that makes sense. That would be ridiculous. And Republicans are saying, look, we're looking at alternatives, because that's also part of the criticism. If something were to go away, what definitively can be done immediately? What can be implemented? And Ted Cruz, who's never shy about jumping into the fray, the senator from Texas, said that the administration did nothing to prepare for this upcoming Supreme Court decision that could leave millions of Americans unable to afford insurance because of the law that failed. And he says, we've got to offer the American people alternatives that lower costs, break the status quo, you know, that favors big business and big healthcare business over the average hardworking, he didn't even say average, he said hardworking Americans. And he said he's sticking to his guns, which this is what he was elected on. He said, saying every last word of Obamacare has to be repealed. And while we continue that fight, we have to send the bill after bill again to the president's desk to stop its effects. The saying, not backing down. But Justice Roberts is really probably going to be the swing vote again on this one. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on America Tonight.
The Freeze-Dry Guy presents Freeze-Dried Turkey, Freeze-Dried Ham, and the No-Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze-Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze-Dry Guy's No-Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price, $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze-Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
I'm a registered nurse and I'm from California, but I'm also originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. Hence, I'm holding the sign up here because 214,000 people will be affected in Louisiana if this law goes through. Well, the change of the law goes through. So I'm out here supporting the members, Americans, that have a right to insurance. I'm also a member of SEIU. I'm SEIU is the largest health care organization union in the country.
Wow. Yes. And how does the union feel about it? They want to see things stay?
Oh, absolutely. We are fighting to keep health care for everyone.
Yeah. Do you have friends that have been affected by it, subsidies or not being able to get treatment?
Well, I'm a registered nurse, as I said, and I work in the operating room. And I have seen patients come in before the Affordable Care Act who waited until the last minute because they were in so much pain, they had to come in through the emergency room. And at that point, they're septic. Some of them are near a death's door. And then they're longer stays in the hospital. So this is a blessing for many, many people. But it appears as though our parts of our government feel it's not, and that it's an entitlement, and that people don't have this right. But health care is a right. It's not a privilege.
All right, so another interesting story talking about what she saw in the, you know, emergency room. So hearing these oral arguments and just coming back from D.C., to give you a little bit of the legal background, that suit was filed by opponents of the Affordable Care Act to stop the tax credit premium subsidies from being provided to the moderate income people in the 34 states where the federal government is running health insurance exchanges. And the Urban Institute says it would result in a withdrawal of subsidies for about 9.3 million people by 2016, and enrollment coverage would drop by about 9.6 million, you know, give or take. So the lawsuit is really a contest, I guess, in a sense, in, you know, congressional intent that premium subsidies should be provided in all states. Or versus, on the other hand, that the language, the statutory language, says the opposite. So those who believe in that formulation are only partially correct, and they are correct that Congress clearly intended the subsidies to be provided to moderate income families, irrespective, basically, of whether their state chose to run its marketplace directly instead of leaving it to the feds. But the language is part of what's going to happen and what the Supreme Court letter of the law will probably, you know, look at following the interpretation. It depends on the context, and context always includes evident purpose, and evident purpose always includes effectiveness. This is the kind of legalese breakdown that they will look at and decide. So, you know, four justices in their dissent explained that premium subsidies are critical to meet the purpose of the ACA, and without the federal subsidies, people, like some of the people you heard just now, would lose the main incentive to get insurance inside the exchanges, and insurers would be unwilling to offer insurance inside of the exchanges if they didn't have those subsidies, so that we know what would happen there. Fewer buyers, fewer sellers, and they wouldn't operate. They wouldn't operate. So what happens if it goes in the favor of the plaintiffs? And you heard what I mentioned about Ted Cruz saying, well, we can't leave people blowing in the wind. And that would be the key thing. The key thing is, what is the alternative in breaking or pulling this all out? And you even heard Wendell at the top talking about, you know, the Democrats doing a lousy job of it, saying that he was on the front lines and he saw, and that there were things that should have been handled differently, and you know, perhaps all of this would look a lot different. But there's no doubt, as I've said over and over again, it doesn't matter where you stand on the spectrum, looking out into the abyss of, oh my gosh, I hope nobody in my family comes down with anything and I have to navigate this horrible, part of the horrible system we're in. And the key really is those doctors. The key is, what kind of a doctor do you have? We know we've had Dr. George on the show. She just was on the other day talking about how many doctors are just going to other systems and taking direct pay. I talked to another doctor today who told me, similar to Dr. George, some horrific things that she saw and things that were happening, and, you know, what they could do to try to help people who had no way to go about it with the fear of what they were going to have to pay and what the premiums were going to be, because that kept anybody away who had some aching pain or something that started to develop that became that much worse. So it's just an incredibly divisive instrument in a couple of different directions, and I really don't understand why. It's almost like immigration for me. How is it that we live in the best country on the face of the earth, or we hope we still live in the best country, right? So how is it that we never solved the immigration dilemma? And maybe I'm answering my own question. And how is it we let healthcare get to the point of where it is now? How is that? How is it that nobody could really break the logjam, come up with more implementable implementable, sensible things to pursue that would never be 100%, but ways to make it so, yes, on the lower end of the spectrum, we can help you out. We'll figure a way around this. On the middle class end of the spectrum, we're not going to jab you in the eye and see your premiums go skyrocketing, because that's the other part of this equation. How do you bring that back around? How do you pull that back down to where it used to be? Even employer, and I had these conversations today, even employer-backed insurance now isn't what it was, because the companies, the small businesses, aren't able to afford them. And we're going to talk later to Chris Armstrong about that, about what is it, what happens to the small business person? What is it that they can do? What's the upside? But then, of course, what is the downside to this? And premiums are the thing. Premiums keep people away from the doctors. Whatever the co-pays are, keep people away from the doctors. Hey, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, you know, you always can jump in. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. And, you know, continuing down the road of your health care, of your future, of your children's future, and, you know, what is that going to look like? Who's going to come up with the incredible solution to some of the problems that we're facing? And clearly we saw the battle lines again in front of the Supreme Court. There were some other things that also came out of D.C. that made massive news. And Hillary Clinton, as she is the presumptive nominee, pretty much handing it to her in 2016 to be the Democrats' choice to run for president, is now in the middle of this whole email mess. And the email mess is that she didn't use a government account for all the emails that she was sending. It was a personal account. And others have used personal accounts, but not to the extent that Hillary Clinton did. So late on Wednesday, she asked the State Department to make thousands of her emails available to the public, and it was her first response to this huge firestorm that followed this revelation that she used a private email account for her correspondence while she was Secretary of State, because we know about hacking and what would that mean if she was hacked into. And she tweeted this late on Wednesday. In fact, it was right before I jumped on the plane. I saw it. She said, "I want the public to see my email. I asked state to release them. They said they'll review them for release as soon as possible." But, you know, the message comes on the heels of other things that have happened since the whole Benghazi deal, and since she was since her personal emails were subpoenaed, and this controversy really was broke open by the New York Times reporting that she had never had an official government email account, as they sort of dug a little bit deeper. It was more than the emails for doing official business. And it's interesting because some people in the legal profession will say, well, that's a violation of federal law. And it certainly has raised questions of why she kept her messages off the government servers. But that's why she's saying, release them. Just release all of them. Release them all. And in fact, she had turned over 55,000 messages that had been selected by her advisors to the State Department in response to the records request. So she's releasing, you know, saying release them all. Let them all go out there. And the Clintons used to store her emails, it was traced back to an internet service registered to the Clinton's home address in New York. So, you know, there would have been more opportunities, I guess, to block government or private subpoenas in court or a civil case or a criminal court or whatever before she would have been forced to turn any over. So that's why she's saying, okay, I'm just going to turn all the emails. I'm going to just turn them over. But a House committee subpoenaed all those personal emails, of course, in the Benghazi probe, and that's what led to this. Wow. I don't know that any other government official is going to do that after this whole Hillary Clinton thing. And somebody asked me today, do you think that this stains her for the presidency. And I'm going to say no. There's Teflon. There's a Teflon sort of coat that surrounds the Clinton. Fruits and Nuts, Shred It and Bingo next.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens and dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. You're it's close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Again, that's FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeWaterproofMatch.com today.
Here on America Tonight. A couple of quick things, though, to tell you about. I mentioned Hillary Clinton and the email scandal. I think it's a scandal, though, that dies out, but especially because she's saying, well, we'll just release all the emails, trying to quell all the furor over that. And even if there's some kind of a legal challenge, again, I go to the Teflon thing, having just been in Washington and had a few conversations about where Clinton stands, and it's about the war chest that you have to raise to be president. And when you're talking about $1 billion, you got Bush and you have Hillary Clinton, and the inside track. Despite everything that we just saw at CPAC for the Republicans, the early money still is on Jeb Bush. still is on Jeb Bush. So, you know, how about that? And also, too, because some of you are telling me about your woes with the snow and the ice mix cop who is just a stone's throw away in New Jersey from where I grew up, maybe a cheesesteak runaway. He let us know, for all of you in the tri-state area, that snow is coming. Rain is turning into ice, then snow, 4 to 8 inches until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They say 100 million people are in the path of the snow and the ice mix. I got out of one mess to just put myself in another mess, so I know exactly what that's like. At the Reagan Airport, there were so many people scrambling, and I talked to a couple and another guy and somebody who sat next to me on the plane, where they had all changed their plans, jumped on whatever plane they could get on, because they wanted to get out of D.C. to go wherever they were going, knowing that the flights were all going to be canceled. And at Virgin Air, they told me, yeah, we already know. We know it's happening, but we can't officially call it because, of course, that's the airport and whatnot. But we've seen this action before, and it's going down. I mean, they made it's like, yeah, I'm just telling everyone, if you want to get out, you just get on whatever flights you can get on. And so that's exactly what people were doing. And this, in the East Coast, they're seeing that. In Texas, they're seeing the massive ice winter storm. So it's pretty bad. Heavy snow, ice, flooding, they're talking about in some parts. Interstate 95, stay off that. It's like being on the luge run already. They're talking about how awful that is between Washington and Philly and all those places in between. All right, so now it's time for Fruits and Nuts, Shred It, and Bingo.
Bingo!
All right, this is where we officially usher in my pal Nathan Reeder, the technical maestro of America tonight. Hey, Nathan, how are you?
I like that Reedo. It reminds
Rito's
me.
Cool.
I should be like a Star Wars character or something.
I just changed your name for you. I love it. Okay, so you're going to find this interesting. Do you drink coffee, Nathan?
No.
None. Zero.
Never? I drink coffee maybe once every year and a half or so.
Wow.
It's really
okay,
weird.
So good for you. So here's the thing, you know, because some days they tell you coffee is incredible for you, and then other days they tell you, oh, my gosh, don't drink coffee. So the inventor of the K-cups, I know you know what they are, the little cups that go into the machine where it's individual coffees when you go into restaurants or now or when you go into offices, lots of people have them. It used to be really, really trendy. Well, okay. In a magazine article with The Atlantic in an interview, John Sylvan, who was the inventor of the K-cups, said he regrets he ever invented them. He said, I feel bad sometimes that I ever did it. And what's the reason why? He says, because the K-cups are bad for the environment. They're disposable and not recyclable. He said he originally envisioned the cup-like pouches that brewed a single serving of coffee for offices where people want different brews, but the technology caught on and exploded. And now in households and everywhere else, that's what you see. So he's saying that more K-cups are being thrown in the trash, and that makes him feel just disgusted with himself. He sold the company. How about this? He sold the company for $50,000 in 1997. That's how much. That's. I think I'd be pretty upset about that.
That's a lot of cheap garbage, dude.
$50,000. K-cups are worth so much. And whoever snapped it up, oh, they've made a fortune on it. I mean, just made a fortune on it.
It's yeah, crazy. You know, I looked these up, and I have never really seen that before. But then again, I'm not a coffee drinker.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And they are in individual people's houses. It was a big Christmas gift for people.
You know where I have seen them? In the garbage.
There you go, proving his point that not only did he get gypped because he only got 50 grand for what was really a huge idea, but the guilt that he's feeling over the remorse over the trash. Here you don't even know what they are, but you know you've seen them in the trash. So there you go. All right, here's we go from one guy who could have been a billionaire to a guy who is a billionaire. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, Nathan, says he's found the wreckage of a long-lost World War II Japanese battleship near the Philippines. He posted images on Twitter. I was looking at them, and it looks like the Musashi, which was one of two of the largest warships in the world. And it was, check this out, only Paul Allen. The discovery was made aboard his super yacht, the My Octopus, as part of an expedition that he launched. See, when you have billions of dollars, you say, let's go look for some lost ships. Yeah, let's take the yacht out today.
Yeah.
And let's throw some divers in the water and you get the images up, man. Let's see what's going on. That's what you do when you're a billionaire. You can do whatever you want. And so if you decide I want to find some lost boats, I do. But he did say he's been fascinated with World War II history since his father's service in the Army, and that it's truly amazing and can't believe he found it, and so he did.
Well, that's nice.
What is it, fruits and nuts, bingo, or shred it?
Bingo. I mean, isn't that what billionaires are supposed to do? Go around the world and... finding stuff and spending their money. Finding stuff, creating stuff, and spending money, right?
Yeah, spending money. By the way, people are jumping into our shredded bingo and all the other things in between fruits and nuts. Dawnfire says, couldn't the K-cups be made out of recyclable plastic or use the refillable ones? Duh, there's an idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
Bingo.
Yeah. Bingo. She gets a bingo. All right, so moving forward, how about this? Workers digging underneath a Paris supermarket found thousands of skeletons holding hands.
Ooh.
The gross... Ugh, I know, that's creepy. Seriously, I saw a picture of it. It freaked me out. So it was part of a cemetery for the Hospital of the Trinity, and it operated from the 12th century to around the 17th century. They're conducting carbon dating and DNA testing to figure out when and why the people died, because clearly they died around the same time. What's surprising is the bodies were not thrown in the graves, but were carefully placed there in an organized kind of manner.
Well, see, I could imagine that happening over course of time, too, but...
Well, and think about this. Paris had... a lot of plagues. They had epidemics. They had smallpox. Exactly. They had outbreaks in the 17th century. So that's probably what that's about. They found a couple of common graves in that area, with 5 and 20 skeletons each. And they found all these. I mean, how freaky is that? You're just digging underneath and then you find all these skeletons. Ugh. That makes me... yeah, awesome. I don't know. That would make me kind of feel creepy, but hey.
It's like the start to every Bones episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Freak out the normals who are just doing their jobs, and then all of a sudden, horribly scary, decapitated skeletons plop on someone's face.
See, now everyone's jumping in on this, too. So Harmony says they drank the Kool-Aid. I don't think so. I'm going to say bingo. Hey, pretty cool. They found skeletons. Why not?
Sure.
What do you say?
Sure. Bingo. Bingo. Shred it. Bingo. Shred it. You know,
all right.
Dead people. Shred them.
So we end on a shredding note. Yo, yo. Thanks for listening to the show.
Berkey water filter.
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.